Have you ever heard Bible teaching that sounded a bit off? Are you confident that you can discern between what is true and what is not? Today on Telling the Truth, Pete Briscoe shares what the Bible teaches us about recognizing false teaching. But first, we live in a culture that stands ready to bend and distort God's word in order to accommodate the whims of the world. Pete and Stuart Briscoe have a new Bible teaching series called Recognizing False Teaching that helps believers decipher lies from truth and stand firm in God's word. When you give today, we'll send you a copy of this teaching as our thanks for your generosity. If you've never given to Tell Me the Truth, please pray about giving today to help more people experience life in Christ through hearing His word. Call today and request your copy of Recognizing False Teaching. Call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now let's hear from Pete and today's message, Detecting False Teaching.
Fake news. Have you heard of that? Fake news. It's deliberately publishing hoaxes or disinformation, usually at first on social media to grab people's attention and then kind of funnel people towards web pages where false stuff is reported. It's done to influence people, to take advantage of them either financially or politically, and it's a huge problem. It's real. It's happening. Not just here, it's happening all around the world, actually. Sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what's fake. Problem is, it's the consumer of the information that needs to be able to discern between those two things. Obviously, the best way to do it is to go back to the original documents, to go back to an eyewitness or to the person who actually said something, right? So if someone wanted to tweet today, the Declaration of Independence does not say that all men are created equal. They could tweet that. It would be fake news, but they could tweet it. And many people would say, that's true, it doesn't say that. And other people would say, really? I always thought it said that. And people would get all confused. You know how you figure this out? You go back to the Declaration of Independence. In the second paragraph, it says, we hold these things to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And each are endowed with certain, by their creator, with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You guys remember memorizing that when you were in social studies? It's right there. All you have to do is go back to the original document, and you can say, no, it does say that all men are created equal. Because it's hard to know, and because it's hard to find the original documents, there's this new phenomenon, fact-checking web pages. Now, these are for the people who are confused by the fake news. You go to these fact-checking web pages and find out if it's really true or not. The problem is some of these fact-checking web pages are politically motivated. And so the facts aren't really facts. This is a problem for us because it's the responsibility of the consumer of information to determine whether something is real, something is false. And it's getting harder every day. Fake news is one thing. Fake good news is something else. Fake news is really dangerous and really damaging. Fake gospel, much more so. There is such a thing as fake good news. It's a little touch of the gospel, it's a little touch of Christ, but then it's twisted and it's wrong and it's fake. It's dangerous. Theologians call it heresy. I like fake good news better. Makes sense. There is good news and there is fake good news. It is the responsibility of the consumer of the information that they are hearing to determine which is which means it's your job to figure it out. So how do we do this? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 is going to teach us how. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, that's what he calls the believers he's writing to. This is the last hour. This is the last era of our present age. The present age meaning the time between the ascension of Jesus and his second coming, this last days, this last hour. As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. The word Antichrist appears in the Bible only in the letters of John. Only five times in four verses total. So the Antichrist gets a lot of play considering how little he shows up in the Bible. But that's only under that name. Antichrist shows up in other places under other names. So if you're reading through the book of Daniel, you'll come across the little horn, same guy, the Antichrist. As you get to the Gospels, Jesus talks about false Christs and prophets that are coming, same thing. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about the man of lawlessness. It's the Antichrist. And in the book of Revelation, we learn of the beast, the Antichrist. And so he's got lots of different names, but who is this guy? Well, Antichrist is the combination of two words, anti and Christ. It's a compound word. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Anti can mean the opposite of or instead of. Those are different, but they're both found in that word anti. So the Antichrist can be someone who's teaching the opposite of Christ or someone who's teaching something instead of Christ or possibly Christ and some other stuff. So in the early church, they didn't know who the Antichrist was. They were looking out for him and they were wondering who he was. They knew it was in the last hours and he could come at any time. And so a theory emerged that it would be a Jewish man who would rise to power, who would rebuild the temple, and then would persecute the church. By the time the Middle Ages came along, the Roman Catholic Church, very powerful in those days, they communicated that the Antichrist would be someone that comes out of the political world, and that guy would persecute the church. By the time we got to the Reformation, the Reformers had a different idea. They said it was actually the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope who was the Antichrist because he was positioning himself instead of Christ here on earth. And so the Reformers had some very pointed words towards the Pope, which didn't go over that big. Who is the Antichrist? There's all these theories. Who is he? Well, here's what we know from Scripture. Daniel points to the fact that he will have political roots. Paul points to the fact that he will have religious roots. It'll be someone who's in religious hierarchy and political hierarchy as well. In the book of Revelation, we see these two areas combined in the beast. And what we see is a man of demonic evil and great powers who will wreak havoc on God's people. That's what we know. But now that we know all that, what you need to know is that John doesn't really want to talk about the Antichrist. It's not his topic. See what he says? As you've already heard, the Antichrist is coming. That's assumed. They already know about this guy that's coming. They don't know who it is, but they know he's coming. But here's what he really wants to talk about. Even now, many Antichrists, plural, have already come. This is how we know it's the last hour. So there are precursors of the Antichrist, people in the same spirit, people who are teaching the opposite of Christ or instead of Christ in our very midst. But who are they? I'm sure that was their question. He goes on to describe who they are. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. Who is us? Who's he describing there when he says us? There are really two options. One is the congregation that he's writing to. So that would mean that there were people in the body of believers there that have started teaching Antichrist teaching and they have left. They're defectors. They've left the body. That might be what he's saying here. I'm not sure it is because I'm not sure the pronoun us would be the one you would choose. Maybe you, they have gone out from you would be the way he would say that. And I think he still thinks they're in the body. They're still hanging around the church because he's so concerned about their influence. So I'm not sure that's what he had in mind. The other option is us, is the apostolic band, the band of the apostles, the very original early church that started in Jerusalem. That possibly there were some folks in that group that have left Jerusalem and are now teaching Antichrist teachings. One of the reasons that this is a possibility is the little phrase, they went out from us. They went out from us. The exact same phrase appears in Acts chapter 15 in a letter that was commissioned by John in a similar circumstance. Some people had gone from Jerusalem under the name of the apostles and they were teaching false things. And so John sent the letter to say, these people went out from us, but don't listen to them. It says this in Acts 15:24. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. That they're teaching something that we do not endorse. Don't listen to them. So this might be this same group or it might be a similar group. We're not quite sure, but here's what we know. Whoever it is, They were at one time kind of part of this group. They looked like Christians. They smelled like Christians. They did all the Christian stuff. But now they're pulling away. And now they're teaching antichrist things. They're teaching things the opposite of Christ, or they're teaching things instead of Christ. And what this teaches us is not that they were once Christians and they've lost their salvation. What this teaches us is that they were never Christians in the first place. You say, Pete, how do you know that? And the answer is because I've read the next verse. Look what it says. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. They weren't really part of us. That's why they left. Because once you're in Christ, you can never be a fan of someone else. Or you were never a fan in the first place. It's what theologians call the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Those who are saved will persevere because they've been transformed and they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so you can tell those who are saved by those who persevere.
We hope this message is giving you clarity about how to approach the teaching of God's Word. Your support of Telling the Truth helps others hear life-giving messages, including people like Glennis from the United Kingdom, who wrote in and shared this with us. Thank you for the email message, Stuart. It was just what I needed today when I'd been feeling alone and anxious, struggling with health issues, and feeling not in control. How easily we forget that God is in control and that we can rest in His perfect plan and care, trusting Him for everything. Thanks for sharing with us today, Glennis. God certainly is in control, and we all need to be reminded of that. Your gift of support helps bring the truth of Christ to people all over the world. To show our gratitude for your gift today, we'd like to send you Pete and Stuart Briscoe's four-message series, Recognizing False Teaching. The apostles continually warned about false teachers who spread fake news. And today, there are endless opportunities for people to spread their interpretation of Scripture, rightly or wrongly. This Bible teaching will help you identify false claims so that you can experience an intimate and empowering relationship with Christ. Call today to get your copy of Recognizing False Teaching when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. We've got more coming up from Pete from the series Recognizing False Teaching. Let's get back to him now.
With that being said, John is now going to teach us how to discern false teaching when we hear it. Incredibly important passage of Scripture. Let me walk you through it. He's going to show us three things that we need to do if we want to be discerning as we listen. First of all, we need to know the resources that we have. Verse 20, we need to know the resources that we have. But you have an anointing. The word Christ or Messiah means the anointed one. The sense in which he's saying, but you have Christ. You have the anointed one. The word anointing here is actually chrisma, which is from the same family group from which we get Christ. He's pointing to the fact that we have Christ, but look how we have Christ. From the Holy One. The Holy One here is referring to the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, oil or the anointing oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying here is that when you become a believer, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, you receive the person of Christ in your spirit. You have the indwelling Christ by His Spirit living in you. It's the first resource that we need to remember that we have. Not only that, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. And the next verse is going to tell us that the truth is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. He said, because you're a believer, you know enough of Christ to be a believer. You know the truth. You know the essence, which is about Christ. And if you know the essence, you're not going to fall into lies. As long as you know the essence, you have Christ living within you. So we need to know the resources we have. Secondly, we need to recognize the telltale sign. We need to recognize the telltale sign. There is one thing that when it's taught, tells you every time you're being taught by an antichrist. Every single time. It's the telltale sign. It is the core of all heresy. All heresy emanates from this one teaching. He's about to tell us what it is. So whenever you see this, you recognize, woo, heresy, lights go off. Fake good news. Verse 22, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist. How do you know an Antichrist is teaching you? They will deny that Jesus is the Christ. The Christ, the anointed one. For John, Christ describes the full biblical description of the person of the Son of God incarnate in the flesh. It speaks of who he is as a man and who he is as God, and he is both at the same time. It speaks of his work. It speaks of his finished work on the cross, his ongoing work in the Spirit. It speaks of Christ, the biblical teaching of Christ. And if anyone doesn't believe that and teaches something differently, they're teaching false good news. John would say they are antichrists. Whew. We need to recognize the telltale sign. Jesus is the Christ. Who is the liar? Verse 22. It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Oh, you know what? You might hear some people say, you know what? Maybe the false teacher said it to them. We worship the same God, the Father. We just have a little different perspective on Jesus. That's all. You can't do that. Jesus and the Father, they're a package deal. They go together. If you have the Son, you have the Father. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. That's what he's saying here. He says it again a little later. No one, verse 23, who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Has the Father, knows him, is in koinonia, is in relationship with him. To deny that Jesus is the Christ means that you are unsaved. Simple as that. To put your trust in Jesus as the Christ means that you are saved. I can't make it any more simple. John is categorically clear. So we need to know the resources we have. Secondly, we need to recognize the telltale sign. And thirdly, we need to use prophylactics. Yeah, it's a great word. It's been destroyed. It's been taken away from us, but it's a great word. You know what a prophylactic is? A prophylactic is something that you use preventively to protect yourself. It's a really good idea in a whole bunch of areas of life. It's a really good idea in the area of doctrine to protect yourself beforehand. And he tells us how to do it. Number one, abide in the word. Look at verse 24. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains or abides in you. What did they hear from the beginning? They heard the gospel. They heard the apostolic teaching. They heard the teaching of the apostles. They heard the last third of our Bible. That's what they heard. And they believed it. And what he's saying is make sure that this teaching, God's word, abides in you. Just saturate your mind in the truth. If it does, you will also remain, abide in the Son and in the Father. You get one, you get the other. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. He promised us the very life of Christ, koinonia. And truth increases our intimacy with him. So we abide in Scripture. We soak our mind in truth. It helps us recognize what's fake. And secondly, we abide in Christ. Verse 26, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to mislead you or lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received, remember the anointing is the person of Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit, you received from him, from God, remains in you. Jesus is still in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. That's a really scary thing for a pastor to tell you. Is he saying that we don't need the teaching ministry of the church? He's not saying that. What he's saying is you need to recognize and understand that you have the best teacher in the universe indwelling you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to reveal his truth to you as you spend time in the word. And so you don't need to listen to people outside the church tell you who Jesus is. You don't need those teachers. You have the best teacher living within. That as his anointing teaches you about all these things, the ongoing ministry of the Spirit, and as that anointing is real, not fake, this is not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain, abide in him. So what he's saying is you need to abide in the word needs to abide in you, you need to abide in Christ as he abides in you. As you saturate your mind with his truth and you surrender to the Spirit within you, you will be able to recognize what is true and what is false. Open your Bible. Saturate your heart with truth. pray and ask the Spirit to teach you. Do it in the context of community. If you've got questions, have brothers and sisters that are doing the same thing that you can bounce things off of, and you will not fall for the lies. You won't. That's how you protect yourself. So, boy, what a passage, huh? I love it. I wish John would just go straight to the point, you know? He went straight to the point today. If you are a church leader, your number one priority, if you're a pastor, if you're an elder, if you're a small group leader, your number one priority is the purity of your doctrine. Number one priority. Number one priority is what you are saying about Christ, who he is, what you're teaching about him. It's not about the size. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the budget. It's not about the programs. It's not about the buildings. It's not about this. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ. And if you have gotten off, maybe today the Spirit is pulling you back and reminding you how important this is. Some of you are attending church, and because you tell people you're a Christian, you think you are one. Well, this text has something to say to us. What this text tells us is unless you are willing to say that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, unless you're willing to say he is both man and God, unless you're willing to say because he was man and God, his death worked, and because his death worked, his resurrection worked, and because his resurrection worked, I can have new life, and he's going to transform me if I surrender to him. Unless you're there, you're not a believer. But if you will bow your knee and say, Lord Jesus, I believe, change me. In that moment, he will.
This is Telling the Truth. And you've been listening to a message from Pete Briscoe on the ways that Scripture helps you identify false prophets and fake good news. We'll be right back to Pete in a moment. But first, have you ever heard Bible teaching that sounded just a bit off? Pete and Stuart Briscoe want to help you identify the telltale signs of a false teacher with their series, Recognizing False Teaching. When you call today and give to keep this program on air and online, we'll send you a copy of their four-message Bible teaching, Recognizing False Teaching, to equip you with the tools you need to recognize heresy and stay focused on the truth of God's Word. Your financial support will help more people hear God's truth and experience fullness of life in Christ. Call now to give and get your copy of Recognizing False Teaching. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, back to Pete with the conclusion of his message, Detecting False Teaching.
Believers, this text is so crucial for us because if we want to deepen our intimacy with God, this koinonia that he's given us. John is teaching us in this letter that there are three things that we can do that can weaken that intimacy. One is sin in our lives. Another is not loving our brothers and sisters. And the third is believing lies about Jesus. So conversely, we want to deepen that intimacy. We'll walk in obedience in the power of the Spirit. We'll love our brothers and sisters, enabled by the Spirit. And we will saturate our mind in the truth taught by the Spirit. And our intimacy will grow. So I was praying this week. I found a passage of Scripture that's about Jesus, about who he is as the Christ. And I'm just going to saturate in that text for 30 straight days. I invite you along if you want to do it. Okay, so the passage is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You know, there's enough theology about Jesus in that one little section to keep you going a lot longer than 30 days. Dwell there. Say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to how magnificent and supreme Jesus is. And you'll be able to recognize the fake stuff when it comes your way.
Thank you so much, Pete. Before we go, we want to remind you about a new resource from Pete and Stuart Briscoe called Recognizing False Teaching. This four-message Bible teaching exposes the subtle ways false teaching can creep into the church and rob people from truly experiencing Christ in His fullness. This series will help you figure out when teaching is true and when it's a lie, so that nothing detracts you from your relationship and intimacy with Jesus. Request your copy of Recognizing False Teaching with your gift today and help keep the message of Christ on air and online with broadcasts like this one. So please call now to give and help others experience life in Christ. Call 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388 or give online at tellingthetruth.org. What an honor to have you with us today. We hope you'll listen again tomorrow when Stuart shares more about how to stay immersed in the truth of Scripture and avoid spiritual falsehoods. Come back and experience life Friday on Telling the Truth.